Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Dozens of people who called a piece of land in Garner home are now forced to find someplace else to go. We're live with the action police are taking at this hour.
And after a chilly start this morning, we're out here at the Diba with a beautiful day for Education Days. I'll show you why our temperatures are heading up.
And how about those cardiac canes? The Carolina Hurricanes giving fans a reason to believe as they take a 2-0 lead in the series against the Islanders.
Dozens of people experiencing homelessness could be forced off land owned by the town of Garner. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Sean Gallagher has been there for much of the morning. Sean, what's happening right now?
Yeah, optimism's pretty low for the folks who are out here. The police said that they were going to be here at 10 a.m. to make these folks here leave, but now it's about noon and no law enforcement is here. But you can see here behind me, there are a lot of people trying to pack up the remainder of their belongings from this encampment in Garner. And this isn't just stuff. There are people who have memories here. They are trying to pack up what they can, and if they're lucky, they may have a friend with a car who came to try to get some of this stuff out. But others, they had to leave with whatever they could carry. At its peak, there were about 40 people at this encampment here in Garner, and right now maybe a half dozen or fewer, but these are the remainder of the folks here that have a lot to pack up. There are people that have been here for upwards of 6 months, and suddenly on Friday were told by law enforcement that they needed to vacate. That due to an uptick in crime, according to law enforcement, and advocates have been out here all morning trying to help the folks here pack up what they can for what they call inhumane treatment of forcing these folks out. I spoke with one of the leaders here who goes by Wild Horse about how everyone here is feeling today.
You're not only taking the light out of these people's eyes that they have, but now you're kicking legs out on them. You can look and see, oh, while these tents aren't down, I'm going to tell you why. Because they're scared. They don't have nowhere else to go. Their whole lives is in that tiny little home.
And Raleigh's Unhoused Outreach Group has been out here today, as well as some other groups. But a lot of the folks I've already talked to here today say that that help has not been made available to them before today. Now, some of the residents here are on their way out right now, but they were told they needed to be out of here by 10 a.m. It is now noon. No law enforcement presence is here yet. But once the area is cleared, the state's DOT will come in and clear out the rest of the area here, Renee.
Sean Gallagher reporting live from Garner.
And that action today in Garner comes as the Supreme Court continues to hear arguments in a case that could affect how cities deal with those homeless camps. The case centers around Grants Pass, Oregon, which tried to block people from sleeping and camping in public spaces, including sidewalks, streets, and city parks. At issue is whether those rules violate constitutional protections against cruel and unusual punishment. The case will decide whether local governments can enforce laws against people sleeping outside when there is no other shelter space. They have nowhere else to go.
Where do we put them if every city, every village, every town lacks compassion and passes a law identical to this? Where are they supposed to sleep?
While the justices concede that addressing homelessness is a complex policy issue, some conservative members expressed doubt that a lawsuit was the best way to deal with it.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Fayetteville. We do have a shot up right now. This is a live look at a heavy police presence here on Corinna Street in Fayetteville. They are dealing with a barricaded subject inside that shed. This looks like it's a shed right next to a residence there. They're trying to convince the person to come out of this shed. Details are very limited right now. Police have not shared anything else with us other than that they're trying to get a person to come out of this shed. We don't know if this person was armed. We don't know what crime this person committed. We will stay on top of this breaking situation, and we will bring you the latest from the Live Center.
Michelle, thanks. We're waiting to learn the identity and charges against a person who led law enforcement on a chase that ended in a crash. The police chase started with police in Butner before ending 20 minutes later on Deerfield Road in Granville County. The driver crashed into a Granville County Sheriff's deputy's vehicle, then ran off the road. The suspect ran but was captured and taken away in an ambulance. No officers or deputies were hurt.
We're working to learn why Wake County deputies were investigating outside a home in southeast Raleigh this morning. A heavy law enforcement presence was on Royal Acres Road, right off Barwell Road. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. That scene cleared just after 4:30 this morning. We'll keep you updated when we learn what they were investigating. Today, Wake County Schools leaders will consider a new policy for using the overdose reversal medication naloxone in schools. The proposal would train one staff member in each school and office building on how to use naloxone. The Safety and Security Committee will talk today about a possible timeline for getting that policy started. Wake County Public Schools haven't had any reported overdoses, but other school systems have. Last year, naloxone was used 21 times for suspected overdoses in North Carolina schools.
The former National Enquirer boss David Pecker is back on the stand today in former President Trump's hush money trial. Trump faces 34 counts of falsifying business records. The charges are related to alleged hush money payments to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. The judge is holding a hearing today on whether Trump violated his gag order with social media posts attacking likely witnesses. And coming up at 12:30, we'll have more on today's proceedings. Two North Carolina lawmakers are calling for an investigation into the quality of care overall at the Fayetteville VA Medical Center and its prosthetic services department. Republican Congressman David Rauser and Senator Tom Tillis sent a letter to Secretary Dennis McDonough underscoring what they call the apparent lack of attention to timely and empathetic care for amputee veterans. They also highlight what they say is a poor standard of quality care overall.
It's Education Day at the DBAP, not your ordinary field trip. WRL's Elizabeth Gardner is in Durham, where hundreds of elementary, middle, and high school students are learning outside the classroom. Elizabeth.
This is the third year that I've been to this event, and it is so much fun. I get to come in the storm tracker and show the kids exactly how the storm tracker works, how we track storms, the way it works. We've got the buttons that we push and show them how we can show the temperature and the wind speed, and they love it. It's really fun. Hundreds of students here. You can see plenty of them up and down the aisle, and so many educational exhibits here for them to see, and on top of that, they get to watch a Durham Bulls game. I mean, is that the best field trip ever or what? Let's take a look at our forecast for the game. It's really going to be lovely out here. We'll check it out. Around town this afternoon, 73 in Raleigh, 73 in Durham, and 73 in Fayetteville. Right now, temperatures are in the low 60s, so it's still a little bit cool. And you saw me wearing my jacket. But this is the middle of a homestand, too. And this is a look at our 6:30 temperatures for the next several afternoons. Now, tomorrow's going to be a little cloudier. We have a cold front coming through. I'm going to show you in a few minutes when we could see some showers, but it looks like they'll be out of here by 6:30, and the temperature is likely to be in the low to mid 70s each afternoon for the next several days. Of course, we've had some really chilly temperatures the last few days. I'm showing you in a few minutes what's changing with our weather pattern to bring the warm temperatures back. Coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. It was a night to remember for the Carolina Hurricanes and their fans as the team made an incredible comeback in Game 2 of their series with the New York Islanders. Now it's on to New York for Game 3. WRL's Noah Klein joins us now with a look at those five unanswered goals that won it for the Canes last night. And Noah, this is something fans will be talking about for years to come.
Renee, I mean, it's a moment that Canes fans are no doubt going to remember for a long time here. I want to start off by bringing you back to that key moment on the ice last night. Listen to this.
In the corner to Jarvis. One-timer, score! Backdoor tip-in, we're tied! Loose, score!
I mean, it gets better every time we play this out. Two goals in 9 seconds brought the team back from the brink of defeat. Those back-to-back scores gave the Canes a 4-3 lead with just 2 minutes left. They went on to win 5-3 after trailing 3-0 earlier in the game. It's the first time since 2006 they've come back from being down 3 in a playoff game. In just the last 90 minutes here, head coach Rod Brind'Amour talked about what the game meant to this team.
Take a little time, enjoy it, and then obviously we got to figure out how to do it again. So the good news on something like that, as you know, like you mentioned, with it's happened before, like you got in the memory bank, right? So that's what's cool. You created a pretty special moment for a lot of people their last night.
What a memory it was. The Canes are now up 2-0 in this best of 7 series. They'll play game 3 Thursday night in New York. Should be fun.
And Noah, you mentioned this kind of comeback. We haven't seen it since 2006. Yeah. Of course, that was the magic year when the Canes won the Stanley Cup. So good mojo going in for this quest of the Stanley Cup. Noah, thanks.
We also have a big update this noon out of Wilmington. Plans for a Michael Jordan Museum are being shelved. The standalone museum was part of the Project Grace development in downtown. In a release, project leaders say after lengthy and productive conversations, the family has decided not to move forward with the museum. The county says it looks forward to a continued partnership with the Jordan family to display memorabilia from Jordan's life and career.
Next at noon, an Israeli airstrike in Gaza and a new report about who took part in the Hamas attack in October.
Also, more earthquakes in Taiwan, the damage left behind in that already shaken area, and the businesses and schools forced to close.
Plus, 94 days until the Olympics, what Paris officials are doing about the dozens of migrants living in tents in the City of Light.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
This is video right here of an Israeli airstrike that destroyed the top three floors. You see it going off right there. This was a building in Gaza City. The building just ignited in flames, smoke plumes from the top of it. Journalists on the ground said a warning was issued an hour ahead of that strike. No one was hurt. Meanwhile, an independent review is shedding new light on the neutrality of a UN agency helping Palestinians. Here's Raf Sanchez.
Since long before the start of the Gaza war, Israel has been leveling serious accusations against UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, saying it has been infiltrated by Hamas, by Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and by other militant groups in Gaza. We now have the findings of an independent report carried out by the former French foreign minister. This report finds that Israel has not provided evidence for the claim that there are thousands of Hamas operatives employed by UNRWA right now. The report also finding that UNRWA does have significant mechanisms in place to prevent infiltration, but that there is more work to do. The UN says it is accepting the recommendations of this report. The United States is one of several countries which cut funding to UNRWA in the wake of these serious allegations. The State Department says it is reviewing the findings of this report, but right now it is not clear whether or not the U.S. plans to restore what the U.N. says is badly needed funding. There is a separate U.N. investigation going on into Israeli allegations that around a dozen UNRWA employees directly took part in the October 7th attacks. We do not yet have the findings of that investigation.
That's Raf Sanchez reporting. And meanwhile, the civil defense says it's discovered a mass grave on the grounds of Nasser Hospital in southern Gaza. They've discovered about 280 bodies so far. Palestinians say there was a real danger of being killed by Israeli snipers if they left the hospital, so they buried the dead inside the hospital.
And breaking right now in the WRAL Live Center, back to Fayetteville, the breaking news we've been following about the barricaded subject. This is him in the white T-shirt here. Police just escorted him out of that shed about a minute ago. He's being taken to a police car right now. He's been yelling. We don't know what he's saying. We did see somebody giving him water, but now he's being taken into the car. Again, this is happening in Fayetteville near Corinna Street. This suspect was wanted. They were trying to get him out of a shed. They finally convinced him to come out, so they are putting him in the cop car now. Details still limited on what he was arrested for, if he was armed. As soon as we learn any more information, we'll bring that to you from the Live Center.
Two earthquakes of magnitude 6 and above shook Taiwan today. Officials say the quakes hit the island 6 minutes apart. No injuries have been reported. It was only about 3 weeks ago Taiwan's strongest earthquake in 25 years hit. And damaged buildings from that quake tilted even more after these latest earthquakes. Local authorities have called on businesses to close. Schools are closed for the day. Hundreds of aftershocks after the April 3rd quake continued to strike in that region, the vast majority below magnitude 3, except for today. Investigators are working to figure out what caused two helicopters to crash into each other during a training session in Malaysia. This is a photo of the wreckage from this morning. All 10 people on board were killed. Another person was hurt. This happened during a rehearsal for the Malaysian Navy's 90th anniversary celebration for Saturday. The celebration's now canceled, and instead a prayer vigil for the victims will take place.
Vietnamese electric car maker VinFast has announced plans to open 12 new dealerships, including one in Greensboro. Already one in Cary. Other locations are spread out across the U.S. and are expected to start opening before the end of the month. VinFast electric cars will soon be manufactured at a plant in Chatham County. A spokesperson for the company previously told us production was expected to begin in 2025. The plant is expected to bring more than 7,000 jobs to our area.
Lots of sunshine out there, and our temperatures are starting to warm up. It's a good day for baseball.
I would say Elizabeth Gardner has the gig of all today outside at the DBAP right now for, Education Day there, Elizabeth.
Oh, my goodness. We've been having so much fun all morning. This is Apex Friendship. Everybody say hi. This has been so much fun. I've gotten to talk to so many kids today. They're out here enjoying the sunshine, out of school, on a field trip. And we've been learning some things. Don't get me wrong. But it's been a ton of fun. Look at this. Let's walk out here and take a look at this stadium. It is full of people, mostly students here at Education Day. It's something that the Durham Bulls do every year. They invite the kids out, their educational exhibits, so they can learn for an hour and a half or so, and then come out here and enjoy the game. And I tell you what, it is just a stunning day. It was cold this morning. You know, we had temperatures in the 30s, and I've been standing in the shade. And so now here I am in my jacket, and I'm definitely going to have to shed the jacket. Our temperatures are climbing quickly. Let's take a look at what we're seeing right now outside. And we've started to climb on up into the 60s. Let's take a look at what's happening out there. And we're starting off with a look at Wake Forest. And we're going to see, of course, a nice mild day for it today. Let's see if we can push that ahead. There we go. 66 degrees is our current temperature. We're going to climb on up into the low 70s this afternoon. So what a turnaround from such a chilly day. We had temperatures down near freezing in some places this morning. Roxborough is at 32. Now Roxborough is sitting at 63. We're looking at mid-60s in the Triangle, down into Fayetteville, 66 right here. In Durham at the DBAP, at Education Day. Well, let's take a look at satellite and radar. We're all clear. We're looking at gorgeous sunny skies right now. We have a high pressure system down to the south. That's going to keep things clear, and it's also going to shift our winds. We've been so chilly because we've ended up with some northerly winds. Watch what happens with our wind direction. We're seeing that now coming out of the south. You can see those red arrows that are moving across the area. So that's our warm-up that starts today and continues. Of course, temperatures this afternoon will be in the low 70s. Tomorrow, we have the potential for some isolated showers. We're going to walk you through that coming up in about 30 minutes. But they'll be gone by the evening tomorrow for the remainder of the homestand. 70 on Thursday, 71 on Friday at 6:30. So just lovely weather in our forecast all the way into the weekend. 75 is our normal high, and you can see we'll see highs in the low to mid 70s all the way through Saturday, and then after that, temperatures warm up. Of course, it was a very chilly morning. We've had our winds coming out of the north, and so that kept things cool for this afternoon. We're climbing into the 70s, and tomorrow morning, it'll be your normal. Our normal low is 51, looking at a low of 51 for the next several mornings. You may be reaching for your jacket again on Friday morning with our temperatures in the 40s. We're just nice and quiet with a small chance of showers tomorrow, which, again, we'll walk through coming up in just a little while. And then we're in the 80s again on Sunday and Monday. So coming up, we're going to talk more about that chance of some rain on Wednesday. In the meantime, we're just here kicking back, enjoying a ball game. I keep talking about what a great field trip it is for these kids. Kind of a fun day for me, too, you guys.
Not a bad gig.
A nice work day for Elizabeth. Wish we could be out there with you. Beautiful weather and a beautiful ball field. Look at those even stripes.
Good stuff. Yeah, thanks. Lawmakers in New York are coming after individually wrapped cheese slices. Why companies that make them could face tens of thousands of dollars in fines.
Caitlin Clark cashes in, not with her salary, but with her sponsorships. Up next, how much money Nike is paying her to be the face of new signature shoes. Welcome back. Skies are Carolina blue over Chapel Hill. What a pleasant feeling Tuesday. We are in the upper 60s right now. We'll climb to the low to mid 70s. Taylor Swift's new album is shattering records, and Delta Airlines is getting ready for summer travel by boosting pay. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber. Delta is giving flight attendants and ground workers a 5% pay hike as it gears up for the busy summer travel season. The airline will also boost starting pay to at least $19 an hour. The moves cover Delta's non-union employees and follows a similar pay hike last year. The airline says it has raised pay for its major work groups by as much as 25% since 2022. Delta earned $4.6 billion last year. That was more than United, American, Southwest, and Alaska Airlines combined. Caitlin Clark will reportedly sign a sneaker deal with Nike. The Wall Street Journal reporting the 8-year deal will be worth up to $28 million for the basketball superstar. After shattering scoring records at Iowa, Clark was the number one pick in the recent WNBA draft. She already has deals with State Farm, Gatorade, and other brands that are said to be worth more than $3 million. Sports website The Athletic reports Clark's deal with Nike will include a signature shoe. Taylor Swift is breaking more records. Her latest work, The Tortured Poets Department, became the most streamed album on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Music on its first day. There were 300 million streams alone on Spotify on Friday. That made it the most streamed album in a single day. It was a milestone. The pop superstar hit in just 12 hours. And Apple and Amazon also said Swift's 11th studio album shattered records on their platforms as well. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
The Federal Trade Commission is blocking an $8.5 billion purchase of Capri Holdings from Tapestry. The agency says that the deal would eliminate competition between the fashion company's brands. Tapestry owns Coach. Capri owns Michael Kors. The FTC also says the deal could weaken employee wages and workplace benefits.
First, it was plastic bags and now individually wrapped cheese slices. Some political figures in New York are examining a measure that would ban that type of packaging. The Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act would require certain companies to reduce their plastic use by 50% over the next 12 years. It's part of an effort to clean up waterways and landfills. Violators could face a $100,000 fine each day until those requirements are implemented. People could finally see some relief at the grocery store. A report from Oxford Economics expects global food prices to decline this year. The key driving force is an abundant supply of many important crops like wheat and corn. Solid harvests have led to a steady decline in prices, with wheat futures down nearly 10% this year. Farmers ramped up production following the spike in prices when Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022. And as a result, harvests are expected to come in at a record level this year.
After a contentious hearing in former President Trump's hush money trial, a prosecution witness returns to the stand for day two of testimony.
TikTok promises legal action if the U.S. follows through on a threat to ban the social media app. And here's a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The criminal trial of former President Donald Trump, with the prosecution's first witness, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, back on the stand today.
Trump faces another critical hearing in the same courtroom without the jury present as prosecutors try to persuade the judge to hold the defendant in contempt. They're arguing the former president has repeatedly violated a gag order. Here's NBC's Laura Jarrett.
Donald Trump once again overnight testing the limits of the judge's gag order on the eve of a key hearing.
That jury was picked so fast, 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrats.
Weighing in on the jury, a potential witness, and the prosecution in a radio interview.
They have people in the case that have some very serious problems with what they've done.
This, as his defense team seeks to beat back allegations, he's repeatedly violated the judge's gag order, which bars the former president from commenting on jurors, witnesses, and the DA's staff. This morning, Mr. Trump will also face a key witness in this trial, David Pecker, publisher of the National Enquirer, back on the stand today, expected to help the state flesh out the timeline of an alleged criminal conspiracy to win the White House in 2016. Prosecutors telling the jury that Pecker met with Mr. Trump and his former fixer Michael Cohen at Trump Tower back in 2015, the trio concocting a plot to catch and kill damaging stories about Mr. Trump by paying people off and muzzling them with non-disclosure agreements.
Hello, how are you?
But it was the release of the Access Hollywood tape that motivated Mr. Trump to direct the payoff of Stormy Daniels, prosecutors say, because he was so concerned his standing with female voters was cratering. And Daniels had threatened to go public with a story of sex with the former reality TV star, an encounter Mr. Trump denies. So Cohen paid Daniels $130,000 just before voters went to the polls.
I did it at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald J. Trump.
Mr. Trump then later reimbursing Cohen through a series of checks, prosecutors telling the jury Monday they agreed to cook the books on his business records, recording the payments as legal expenses. While the defense team told the jury Cohen cannot be trusted, and the 34 counts are really just 34 pieces of paper.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing.
And that was Laura Jarrett reporting. Court will end at 2 p.m. today for Passover. Also, we've learned that the president's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, will be the featured speaker at this year's Old North State Dinner at the state convention in Greensboro. The North Carolina native will take the stage Friday, May 24th at 6 p.m. Also speaking at this year's Republican convention will be businessman and best-selling author Vivek Ramaswamy.
We're just 94 days away from the Olympic Games in Paris, and police are ramping up their efforts to evict migrants from makeshift camps there. Officers asked about 30 people from West Africa to pack their tents and belongings just before dawn. Most of them are underage and in the process of trying to obtain residency. Aid groups working with migrants say these efforts have been taking place almost every week in Paris for several months now.
All the campments in Paris are getting evacuated by the police because they want to have a clean place for the Olympic Games, for the tourists. They don't want to see Paris as a city that is full of migrants, of asylum seekers.
Police in Paris say the evictions are necessary for security reasons.
The bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S. is up for a vote in the Senate today. If passed there, the president is likely to sign it into law. Amy Kiley explains how TikTok plans to fight the ban.
TikTok is ready to fight.
A TikTok executive is vowing legal action if the U.S. bans the social media platform as expected. A bill before the Senate today would give its Chinese parent company ByteDance 270 days to sell the app. Otherwise, it would keep TikTok out of U.S. app stores.
The legislators, you know, the congressmen, the senators, and the president of the United States are all in agreement that we don't want China to own it.
The Senate is expected to pass the legislation as early as tomorrow. It's already through the House, and President Joe Biden says he wants to sign it quickly. That's because the bill also includes aid for Israel and Taiwan and support Ukraine desperately needs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Congress. Thank you, America.
Legal experts say TikTok could argue in court that a ban would hurt free speech. They say an intent to protect national security might not matter if the outcome affects First Amendment rights.
If you live inside the bubble of TikTok, I mean, you're just like, you know, it's all, this is what we love. This is what we do.
The legislation comes to the Senate as Secretary of State Antony Blinken begins a trip to China. A spokesperson says the timing is a coincidence, but
it is important that the United States and China manage differences between the two countries to ensure that competition does not veer into conflict.
Has your drinking become a problem? The four questions to ask yourself to determine if your drinking habits are unhealthy, even dangerous.
Plus, a big breakthrough from space. After 5 months of no contact, the Voyager spacecraft finally phones home to NASA. What finally worked to restart communication. Now, if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app.
just about pick any one of our WRAL live cam network options. North Hills, this one here, you get blue skies everywhere, and those temperatures have risen. Chilly this morning, but it is a beautiful afternoon out there today. April is Alcohol Awareness Month, which helps raise awareness about alcohol abuse. Excessive alcohol use is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Addiction psychiatrists say that signs of alcohol abuse include the four C's: cravings, which is when you crave alcohol; compulsion, which is when you can't stop drinking once you start; consumption, which is when you drink too much; and last is consequences, which is when alcohol causes problems for you. Families who have lost people in their lives to violence are honoring them during National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Dozens gathered in Raleigh Monday for an event geared toward helping those families. That's the theme of this year's Crime Victims' Rights Week. How would you help? Raleigh Police Chief Estella Patterson says if you see a crime taking place, you need to say something.
A new study finds patients treated by female doctors have lower death rates and hospital readmission rates than those treated by male doctors. The difference is even stronger for women who are treated by female doctors. And still, female doctors say they are not treated with as much respect.
I'll be wearing a white coat and introduce myself as the surgeon. Frequently, I do get misidentified, not as the surgeon, but as a different member of the care team.
How can we improve the environment for female physicians?
I think it's important for young women out there to see that they can do this job and that they should do this job.
More research is needed, but the author suggests female doctors may communicate more effectively and help alleviate embarrassment during sensitive exams. Also, male doctors may underestimate sickness in female patients.
Traditional book clubs are getting a bit of a makeover. How Gen Zers are turning the page on typical book clubs.
Plus, some of us are old enough to remember the classic line from a 1982 cult classic, E.T. Phone Home. After 5 months of silence, NASA's Voyager has made contact with engineers. The exciting information it shared with scientists.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have a very sad update to share with you about the 13-year-old that was shot at a Raleigh apartment complex. This happened early yesterday morning. The WREL breaking news tracker was there. We now know that the name of the little girl, 8th grade student Makia Daniel, we know that she attended Ligon Middle School. The school did send out an email confirming that it was Makia Daniel who was shot and killed. The school says our condolences and thoughts go out to her family and friends. We want to honor the family and be respectful of their need for privacy at this time. The school says they are offering counseling to whoever needs it.
Such a sad update. Today is World Book Day, and Gen Z is putting their own spin on reading through book clubs. These aren't your average book clubs. Kevin Cork explains how younger generations are focusing on specific genres or common interests and taking their book clubs to some unconventional places.
Bookworms bind together over their love of reading, with younger generations turning the page on typical book clubs and starting a resurgence of these meetups.
At the heart of this increase in book club events is really young people. It's Gen Z. It's their desire to bring people together.
Eventbrite is seeing a surge in book club events, up 24% from 2022 to 2023. But they're not the same stuffy get-togethers of generations past. Younger audiences are checking out book clubs that reflect specific communities, genres, or common interests. The ticketing site's data showing an 82% increase in queer book clubs attendance. Silent book clubs, where introverts get together to read but do not talk about the book, are up 16%.
They offer a way to connect in deeper ways, right? Because books are about ideas, they're about inspiration.
They also offer alternatives to traditional booze-filled nightlife, something younger Americans crave.
They're prioritizing their mental health and well-being.
And these events are getting even more lit thanks to celebrity book clubs and social media platforms like BookTok.
Being able to connect with the younger generation and make it cool and make you want to do it.
That's why avid reader Samantha Mae Conley turned to social media to create the all-girls book club back in October.
I felt like online was the best option for my book club because I wanted to offer something that was accessible to everybody.
That was Kevin Cork reporting. Some readers are even joining book clubs centered around boozy brunches and dating events.
Finally, after 5 months of no contact, NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft has made communication. It launched nearly 50 years ago. The spacecraft is supposed to send data to Earth, but it stopped back in November. NASA says there was an issue with one of the spacecraft's computers. The team managed to reestablish contact and are working to get the spacecraft to transmit data again. Authorities in Idaho captured a mountain lion spotted in a neighborhood up this tree. Look at that. This is in Pocatello, Idaho. That's in the southeastern part of the state. Wildlife authorities showed up with police, and they tranquilized that mountain lion and then caught it right there in that tarp so they didn't hurt him. Afterward, it was released back into the mountains way outside the city. Big teeth there.
Yeah. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is on a field trip out at the DVAP. Elizabeth, your office view beats ours today.
It does. You know, the thing about it is there are actually a ton of offices here. I think we just need to move our office here permanently. But look at this crowd. I mean, it's an absolutely stunning day. Our temperatures are going to climb into the 70s this afternoon. We've got the Durham Bulls. Looks like Scranton is up by two. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, Scranton. Scranton's up, unfortunately. But the crowd is the crowd's still having a good time, no matter what. So this is Education Days, and the Durham Bulls do this every year. As a matter of fact, it's so popular that they're doing it 2 days this year. The kids come out, and they get to see a lot of interactive exhibits, and then they get to come and watch the ball game. And it's just spectacular. I mean, what a fantastic day for it. Let's take a look across other parts of the viewing area. And we're seeing a cloudless sky right here. We're seeing the same thing across the viewing area. Fayetteville, Apex, Chapel Hill, all looking absolutely gorgeous out there today. We'll take a look at what's going on out there. And definitely a pretty day. We'll take a look at satellite and radar. I want to talk a little bit about tomorrow. Of course, the rest of today is going to be absolutely gorgeous. But you can see a front that's up to our north and west, and that's going to drop some showers on us for tomorrow. So the timing of this has been just perfect. We will see increasing clouds as we get into the day tomorrow. So it'll be a bit grayer than today, and we'll have the potential for just a line of rain. We're not looking at thunderstorms, but right around lunchtime into the early afternoon, it'll be in our northern counties, and then diving into our southern counties late afternoon into the evening. Again, no thunderstorms with this. It's just a line of rain that'll move through, probably less than a quarter of an inch of rain. Take a look at this. That's Gerald Owens out mowing his grass in his at his farm. I love that video. Only a 20% chance of rain tomorrow, and then after that, we're nice and dry all the way through Sunday. It's going to be a good week for some outdoor projects, especially Saturday and Sunday. We do need some rain. We're not going to see a whole lot this week, and it doesn't look like we'll see that much the first week of May either. It looks like we'll probably be about normal, with temperatures above normal. And we are starting to see the trend for our temperatures to climb by the time we get to Sunday and Monday, with high temperatures in the low 80s. But between now and then, perfect spring weather. Highs will be in the 70s, and overnight lows are mostly in the 50s and 60s. Our chilly morning this week will be 45 on Friday. Of course, notwithstanding what we saw this morning when our temperatures were so chilly. So tons of fun out here at the DVAP. We're just getting the baseball season started, so certainly there's time to get out here and enjoy plenty more games and more beautiful weather just like this.
Elizabeth, we enjoy listening to your forecast and also the rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game back there.
Very good. Yeah. Seventh inning stretch.
I tell you, it took everything I had not to stop and just sing that in the middle of weather. But y'all wouldn't
love to hear it. She has a great voice.
Next time.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
You know, just that day would be awesome. You know, it's just like being drafted again.
A retired MLB player is appealing for one more chance to wear his jersey. Why a one-day contract could prove life-changing.
And your Powerball numbers, 12, 16, 33, 39, 52. The Powerball is one. The Power Play is two. Good afternoon to Clinton with this live look from our WRL Live Cam Network. Mid-60s all across our viewing area as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. As we wrap things up, we have a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
We now know the name of the 13-year-old shot and killed in a Raleigh apartment. Mika Daniel was an eighth grader at Ligon Middle School. The school's principal sent a note to parents that reads in part, "Our condolences and thoughts go out to her family and friends. Please keep them and all of those that have been impacted by this loss in your hearts." Daniel was found dead early Monday morning. Officers responded to a shooting at the Trails of North Hills apartments off Lead Mine Road. They found her already dead from a gunshot wound. So far, no arrests have been made.
Dozens of people experiencing homelessness could be forced off city-owned land in Garner. This is near the 70 and 401 exchange, and law enforcement say an uptick in crime recently forced them to shut this place down. They posted signs Friday to give everyone there a heads up so they have time to go by there today and move their stuff out. Advocates call the move inhumane. Once the area has been cleared, the DOT will clean up what's left behind.
A standoff in Fayetteville appears to have come to an end. This is video from Corinna Street. Police tell WRL officers were in the area to arrest someone who is wanted. They appear to have removed the suspect from a shed on the property. Investigators have not shared why that person was wanted.
A former Major League Baseball